is under the bowl.
Hey, Peter, before you leave, would you pray over the service?
I can. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you now. I thank you that we all can gather here, Father. I just ask that you bless Timmy's lips today. Allow him to say those things he needs to say. Allow us to hear those things. In your son's name I do pray.
Amen. Well, we're going to try to look at what the Word of God can do for you. And a lot of the weight of what the Word of God can do for you is on you. It's what you do with what God has given you. We're going to see that in a couple scriptures. We're going to try to consider these things and look at the Word of God in the light of what you've heard and what you've done with what you've heard. We're going to consider that. We're going to consider, is your pride in the way of using what you've heard that God has given to you, that God has put upon your plate, and you must consider those things. You must do something with them. The Bible says, be not hearers only, but doers of the word. You must be a doer of the word if indeed you are a hearer. We're going to look at that. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. I'm told I can be fairly mechanical. Surprise, surprise. So I will try to help everybody along to understand what I'm saying. I'm going to go to verse 41. I'm going to consider something that Jesus Christ says to Peter. He's trying to teach him. In verse 41, we're going to go to verse 48, the paragraph there. And it says, then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Who is that? Who's that steward? Why would God choose a steward? Why would he choose a certain man to do so, to rule over his household? Verse 43 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, he knew it. God had given him his will. God had made him known. God gave him his knowledge. God taught him that.
That's right.
And it said, and that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48. Here's the crux of the matter. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes, because he knew not. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. If you've been given much, the Bible says that much is required of you. Much is required of you. So if you've been in a church and you've heard doctrine and doctrine has been preached to you and you have the Word of God, or maybe you grew up and you heard the Word of God teached and you did not do anything with it, that's when God's upset with you.
Yes.
That is when God has a problem with you. God has given you knowledge. God doesn't teach for the sake of vanity just to do it. God teaches that men might obey him. And God wants to help people. It says that the Bible says that sin keeps good things from you. God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless us. God wants to help us as a church. God wants to bless this church. He wants to help people. God wants a man to stand in the perfect and complete will of him, will of God. God wants a man to stand firm. God wants a man to stand strong and a woman to enjoy her life and to have a good life. But we do not take what he says. You cannot have that life. There will be no peace. There will be strife and there will be turmoil. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Your life will be full of contention because of your pride, because you will not obey God. But God doesn't want it to be so. God does not want them to be so. God wants people to obey him. and to believe him. That's what God wants. It says, be ye not hearers only, but be doers of the word.
Amen.
Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Right after Proverbs, we come to Ecclesiastes. Proverbs is about in the middle. We have a lot of material. Let's hope to get it done. And at the same time, hopefully, we have an understanding by the end of this. Verse 8 says, we're going to read to the end, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Vanity is something that there's no profit to it. The Bible says that your youth is vanity. Why is it a vanity? Because really, was there profit in youth? It says beauty is vain. If you're a beautiful person and you're beautiful to look upon and people, wow, that's a handsome person. That's a good looking person. That's a beautiful woman. What did it do for you? It really didn't do anything for you. God wants you to have things that are beyond vanity, but God will give them to you as a gift. God will give beauty as a gift. God will give you nice things as a gift, possessions as a gift. But really, we need things beyond vanity. We need some truth.
Right.
So the preacher says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth.
Amen.
The preacher wants to give that. Preacher wants to give truth. God wants his people to have truth. God wants his people to use that truth and for it to benefit their life and for it to help their life. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. The words of the wise will hit you. And you'll know that the words of the wise are hitting you because you'll hear them and you'll think, maybe you'll just disagree with them outright. In your pride, you'll disagree with the words of the wise. You'll disagree. A foolish young man living in his foolish ways, a disobedient young man, one that would disobey his father and live in sin. And the father will say, don't do that. Your life will be ruined.
Mm-hmm.
David tells me, his father used to tell him, David, if you don't study and do your schoolwork, you're going to end up living in a trailer with a woman that you don't like. And David told me, God fulfilled that in his life. God did that. What were the words of the wise to David? They were his goads. They goaded him, and he still did not obey. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Be admonished. Don't be so proud as to not be admonished by the words of God. Don't be so proud as to... God will help a man. God will help a young man. God will help a young woman. God will help a middle-aged man and a middle-aged woman. God will help an old man and an old woman. God will do that.
Amen.
Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is weariness to the flesh. And let's hear the end of this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man.
Right.
Do you fulfill your duty? What is the whole duty of man? To fear God and to obey his commandments. Be ye not hearers only, but doers. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Yes.
Let's turn to the book of Thessalonians. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to consider now, why might you not? Why might you not be the person that obeys the word of God? What stops you? What would it be about you that you would think, I'm not really going to obey God. I'm not going to live what God wants me to do, because we know that God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. God wants your life to be a good life, a life with peace and assurance and comfort in the Holy Ghost. God wants a person to live with peace and to not have a hard life. God doesn't want a man to have a hard life.
Right.
God says he has thought good towards you, but you thought evil towards him. God has thought pleasant thoughts towards you. God loves mankind. God loves people.
Amen.
God is a God that loves people, but they consider God and they hate him. But let's consider, why might you be the person that won't follow after God? If he's intended all that good for you, if God has intended good for you and God has intended those for you, and you've heard these truths, remember, to whom much is given, also shall much be required. If God's done that for you, Why don't you? Furthermore, First Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You've heard the truth. We have all heard the truth. We've all heard that we ought to walk in a certain manner. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You know those things. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We know those things, but what happens? We don't do those things and we live with the consequences. We live with the consequences. Now, I don't have consequences. Don't say such a foolish thing. We live with the consequences of our decisions. We've made so many decisions and we live with the pain and the consequences of those. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man. You despise these things. You're not despising man. Take knowledge from the wise. God is teaching you from his Bible. You don't despise man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Do you love one another? Do you struggle with that? And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. He's writing this letter to the Thessalonians, and he says, you do this thing to the Macedonians. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Increase more and more in these things. Have you increased? Are you stagnant? Have you fallen back? And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without and that ye have lack of nothing. God wants a man to walk such. He wants that for a man to work with his own hands and to have a good testimony of those without. Do you have a good, do people speak good things of you that are without? Do they say, this person's working with their own hands and they have brotherly love one towards another and they're kind, they're not puffed up, they don't live in fornication. Hey, Bible says fornication is a sin against God. It says it's a sin against your own body. You live in fornication, it'll destroy your own body.
Right.
It will destroy your own body. It'll destroy you. It'll eat you up. You think, no. No, that won't eat me up. The Bible says if you go to that woman and you haven't considered how to go, you haven't married that woman, you've gone into her and gone to her in fornication, it says that she shall bring you into a piece of bread. Men get destroyed. Men get destroyed and they're groveling around. They have no strength. They have no internal strength that God would love a man to have, and it destroys the woman too. It destroys her. It kills her.
Right.
Kills her, but people don't consider it. Amen, John Mark. Amen.
Right.
2 Timothy 2. God does not say these things to destroy a person. God says, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Amen.
Faithful are the... But it says, the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. There's those people that act like they're being kind to you and that they have tender mercies to you. And you know that they do not like you. They despise you. They have cruelness towards you. They'll say things to you and ask you questions like they're trying to be polite. And you know, man, this person hates me. This person hates my guts. But the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. God is faithful. It says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ is that friend. God will be that friend. God wants to be that friend to you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. Why don't we want these things? Why don't we follow these things? Why don't we obey? It says that to whom much is given, we all know much has been given to us. Much then shall be required. If we suffer, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've had a pastor here who's taught the word of truth, and he's taught doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept. And that doctrine will help you. Doctrine is the answer. The word of God is the answer. People think, man, I need to put my life together. Maybe I need to get up a little earlier in the morning and I'm going to start a workout program and then I'm going to get to work on time and then I'm going to work really hard while I'm at work and then I'm going to go home and then I'm going to get to bed on time and I'm going to be kind to my wife. Those are really good philosophies and things to follow. Those are good things. They might even help your life. But the word of God is what will heal you on the inside. They talked about frankincense as healing, but my thought immediately was, isn't there a balm in Gilead? Jesus Christ will heal you on the inside. Yes. You don't need philosophy. Yes. People think, man, if I ordered my... I used to think that. I would think, Kerwin, if I showed up to work on time, if I got that together, and if I worked harder at work, man, it would all come together. It never helped me on the inside, showing up to work on time. It never fixed the inside. It fixed some of the actual problems, like getting my boss mad at me. That fixed those problems. I didn't have to deal with that. But it did not heal on the inside. There was no healing on the inside. You need healing. And God wants to give you healing. Amen. God is able to give you healing. Amen. God wants to do that.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 21 through to the end. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. There are those that oppose themselves. They don't realize it, but they have a way of living and a way of walking and a way of thinking, and they're proud of it. Sure. They are proud of it. They stand firm in their way of thinking and in their thoughts. And you can try to reason with a person. Young men fall into that very easily. You try to reason with them and you try to say something to them. Don't you realize? Don't you know? But they oppose themselves. They oppose themselves. It hurts them. And God doesn't want that for a young man. Right. God doesn't want that for a young lady. Right. God wants to do something with them. It said, in meekness instructing those. You know why you have to be meek? You know what meekness is? It's that lack of defensiveness. You don't stand up for your... Someone says something cruel against you. You don't get all proud and bitter. How dare you say that about me? It says in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If you're going to try to instruct someone that oppose themselves and they're hurting their own life, they're going to attack you. If you come at them and you say, hey, what you're doing is really stupid, they're going to attack you and you need to eat that. You need to just take it on the chin. Take it on the chin. God will help you. And it says, this is why you do it. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You need the truth. And just peradventure, if you keep instructing those that oppose themselves, maybe God will give them repentance. You know what repentance is? It's not just a change of mind. It's a change of mind. Think of how much of a miracle a change of mind is. I can remember having been convinced of certain thoughts in my mind and living in those thoughts and thinking those thoughts were right. But there came a day when I realized I was wrong. I was dead wrong. And God instructed me and God granted me repentance and he changed my mind. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. But I'm thankful that there was those in my life that instructed me. They gave me wisdom. They taught me wisdom. They taught me wisdom. But you must not be a hearer only, but be ye doers of the word. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It's on you. You must recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. You must. You must. How does the devil take you? Who are taken captive by him at his will. The devil grabs a hold of the way you think. You are convinced the way you think is righteous. It's right. Nobody wants to be wrong. Everybody wants to be right. I'm right. I'm right. No, you're not. God is right. And until you and God are agreed, you're not right. And the devil will get you every time. Oh, man, why is my life turning out like this? Because he got you and you willfully wanted it. You wanted it. There's no, I said it last time I preached. You don't find yourself in sin one day scratching your head. Man, how did I get here?
Yeah.
It was a willful choice on the inside.
Right,
you chose that. You sought it out when you were young.
Yeah.
When you were young, you thought, I don't want to obey my parents. I want to be in sin. And you know what? Here you are.
Yeah.
Are you happy with the outcome? Are you pleased with the outcome, Black Creek? Do you live in your pride? You know what? We have a pastor that's taught truth out of the Word of God.
Amen.
Have you studied it? Pastor Randall, when he was here, he preached, he said, if you hear preaching, doctrinal preaching, and you don't take that, and you don't use that, and you don't either, you have to take notes or whatever you do, you remember it, and you study it out at home, and you learn those doctrines, you've wasted the man of God's time.
Uh-huh.
Don't waste the man of God's time. Learn these things. What's one of the most common things we've ever heard preached from this pulpit? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you study? Do you know the doctrine? Because doctrine will help you. We look to every other thing for help. I'm going to finally get help. I'm going to finally get my life right because I'm going to do this certain method of living. That's not what it is. We're not Methodists. This is not a method of living. This is obeying God. Do you study and find out the right doctrine, or do you live in your own philosophy? Is your philosophy more important to you than the words of God?
Amen.
The Bible calls for you to believe the word of God over your own thoughts. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside that sin that does so easily beset us. And we think, I can't do that. You're believing your own thoughts over God.
That's right.
Yes, you can do that. God calls you to do that. It's a miracle. God wants to work miracles. As great a miracle as when someone was given sight, God wants to do that for you. God wants to do miracles in your life. God wants to help you. It's not a magical thing. It's not a puffed up spiritual thing. Believe me, God does not work with your pride. God's not going to work with your pride.
That's right. Amen.
1 Corinthians 8. We get this knowledge and we think, because I have knowledge, I'm all right. I know better. I used to think that. Preachers would preach against me and they would literally call me out from the pulpit. They'd say, Timothy, you pervert, you stinking pervert. Why don't you live right? Why don't you quit being a pervert? Why don't you quit being lazy? Why don't you actually do the right thing? Because I always wanted to find a girl out in the world. I didn't want to find a girl that God wanted for me. That was my mind. That was where my heart was set. A man of God would say, hey, that's a good girl. She's living right. Why don't you go after her? And my heart would say, no. No, I'm going to go find a wicked girl because that's what my heart wants. And I wouldn't obey. I wouldn't obey. But I thought I was all right because I knew what the truth was. I sat in church. I thought I was all right because my dad was a pastor. I thought I was all right because I hung out with preachers and I heard preachers preach the word of God. And I thought, because I have this knowledge, I'm all right. But you may find that you don't understand anything. The Bible says, if you think you know anything, you know nothing.
Right.
If you think you know anything, you know nothing. Do you think you know something? Do you think you have some kind of wisdom? The Bible says, you think you know anything, you know nothing. It's what the Bible says.
Right.
Chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 1 through 3. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Hey, what's he say after that? We all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. You have some understanding. Man, I know about God. I know. I heard a man talking to his brother. He said, his brother will say, I know about Jesus way more than you do. And I said to him, but what has it ever done for him? What has knowing Jesus ever done for you? Has it made you live holy and righteous? Have you had peace on the inside? Have you lived peaceably with the wife of thy youth? Has God helped you in your life? Has God blessed you? Or do you live in sin? Do you live in pain? Because God wants to help you. I talked to a man the other day, and he said, I've cried out to God before because God didn't understand my estate. And I cried out and said, God, you don't understand. You don't understand. And then he laughed at me and he said, you know what though? I had to cry out again and say, God, but you do understand, and it makes me mad. And I thought, Jesus Christ wasn't too proud to cry out. The Psalms say, Jesus Christ said to God when he was cast down, when he had died, he said to God, why art thou so far from helping me? Oh, my soul, why hast thou forsaken me? And he looked to God and he said, help! We're too too proud to cry out for help. I heard a sinner yesterday say to me, I cried out for help. I cried out for help, and he might get the help because he was willing to cry out. Are you willing to cry out? Are you satisfied where you're at? Are you willing to cry out for help? Cry out for help, Randy. Cry. God will give you your help. God will be that help to you. God wants to help a man. God wants to help a man to live in peace and in sanctification and in honor. God doesn't want a man to look back at his youth and have so many regrets. God wants a man to look at his youth and say, I obeyed God. I lived right.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, consider the young man. It says, go ahead, live in the vanity of thy youth and enjoy all the pleasures, but know that for all these things you shall come into judgment. I talked to a man at my work and we spoke about these things, about a young man chasing all these pleasures, but then when he gets older, he starts to look back with regret and pain and hurt.
That's right.
Didn't have to be that way.
No.
You could turn now. You could turn now. God said it over and over to Jerusalem. You can turn now. You know that God could destroy this church. God is able to do that. If you don't obey the words of God, God could do that. You know, Israel had real pride in themselves. They thought, we've heard all the knowledge of God. We do the sacrifices of God. And you know what he said to Jerusalem, his beloved city? He said, I'll take you like a bowl, and I'll turn you upside down, and I will wipe you clean. You might think, we have John Asquith to our pastor. You know what? Jesus was chewing out the Pharisees, these people that had all this knowledge, and he chewed them out, and he said, you're wicked. And they said, don't you know that we have Abraham to our father? We're part of Abraham. We're descended from Abraham. And he said, don't you know that of these stones, God can raise up children unto Abraham? There's no specialness in that. God can raise up children from that. You think, we have John Asquith to our pastor. We've heard all this knowledge. You know what? God can, out of these stones, raise up congregants to John Asquith.
Right.
If you haven't obeyed the pastor you got, why would you obey another one?
That's right.
Why would you obey another one?
Amen.
If you don't study your Bible, you don't study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Do you have a need to be ashamed? God says study. Use those things that you've been taught. I've heard from so many people they've spoken of in their youth, people taking time with them, people teaching them the word of God. Have you used
right.
it? Have you used what people have taught you? God wants to help you. Talk with an older person.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with them about their regrets. Do you laugh at them when they talk about their regrets, or do you consider it?
Mm.
Do you take the words of the wise?
That's good.
Kerwin, you've been a help to me for years. I would hear you talk and you would help me. And you would give me, and you would say, Timothy, don't do these things. And I wish I'd heeded you sooner. I mean that, Kerwin. You helped me. We would ride in the truck together and you would say things to me, and you would say things, don't do what I did. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I ask that you continue to do that. Instructing those that oppose themselves, lest peradventure God will grant them repentance. Keep on keeping on. Instruct them, young men. Help them.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing.
Right.
Yet as he ought to know. If you think you know something, you know nothing. You think you know something, you think you've got it figured out, you think, I have knowledge of God, you know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know nothing. You know nothing. Don't be so proud. Don't be so proud, Black Creek. I don't study my Bible, but my pastor does. My pastor is really knowledgeable. You know what we're like? I thought about this. You know what we're like? True walls full of a bunch of nerds. When I was there, we'd all talk about the dumbest things. We would talk, we could go back in time. And if we could go back in time, this is the thoughts of some nerds, we'd be able to teach them how to build cars in the Stone Ages. Are you an electrical engineer? Are you a mechanic? You could teach them anything. And you'd probably starve because the labor would be so hard. You'd have no knowledge. You'd go back there and just be a moron. You have no knowledge of how to build a car. How are you going to teach them anything? You'd have to build factories and everything. You have no knowledge to do that. But we sit there and think, oh, I have knowledge of God. If our pastor died, you might wither up because you don't study your Bible.
Mm.
You don't take that time.
Right.
Don't
good.
Be so proud as to think you have something if you don't study your Bible.
That's
do
good.
You study your Bible? Do you just show up to church and consider things and consider the, oh, I really like what the preacher said. The Bible talks about a people that smile when they hear the word of God and they like it.
Mm.
But do you obey it? Do you study your Bible? God wants you to study your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Let's look at what charity is. We don't have a lot of time. We're probably going to end with this. What is charity? It's not love. It's a character that God wants to have people to live with. Do people live with this? 1 Corinthians 13. Think people are with me?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I hope.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's talking about charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you had the most wonderful speech and fair speech and all these things to say, and you have not charity, you're become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And all that means, we've heard it preached before, look at me, look at me, look at me. You have all this knowledge and all these things to share, and you have not charity, you are nothing, the Word of God says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. Do you consider yourself nothing when you don't have charity? You ought to, because that's what the Word of God says about you. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, wow, you're a generous person. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me nothing. Now, what is charity? Let's consider this. Listen closely. Is this you? Does this really describe you? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Hey, you proud people, do you vaunt yourself? Do you want to be in the high position? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. But what do we do with knowledge? We become puffed up. What does the Bible want us to do with knowledge? It wants us to use it as God told us to use it. But if you just hear knowledge and don't do anything with it, you're going to become puffed up. You're going to become puffed up. Doth, continuing in verse 5, describing what charity is, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Do you rejoice in iniquity? Do you rejoice in lawlessness and not obeying? Do you rejoice in doing things against the grain? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. When you hear truth, do you say, amen? Man, I love hearing that, because it hurts me not to hear it. That's why I say amen, because when I hear truth, I know that it'll destroy me if I don't obey it.
Amen.
Beareth all things, believeth all things. And that's not believing what everybody says to you. It's believing all things of the Word of God.
That's right.
Believe all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. They like to put the word love in there, but love fails all the time. We know that to be true. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You have all this knowledge? If you have not charity, say goodbye to it. Say goodbye to it. Glad you show up to church and listen, but what do you do with it? What do you do with it? What do you do with it? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Hear this. What is the Apostle Paul's opinion of charity and when you don't live with charity? He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Put away childish things. Live with charity. Ought we not to be a church that's known for its charity? Charity. Paul talked about churches that are known for their charity. I don't think that's our report, Black Creek. I don't think that's our report, but it ought to be. It ought to be. You ought to labor with your own hands. You ought to study to be quiet. It's what the Word of God says. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Live how God wants you to live. Follow after charity. The next chapter begins with, I follow after charity. You must follow these things. You must obey what the Word of God's given you. Because to whom much is given, also much shall be required. I know that all of us have been given much. I know that to be true. I hope you heed these things. They're not going to hurt you. It's never going to hurt you to obey God.
Amen.
It will never hurt you to obey God. Amen. If you start to obey God in your life, even now, it's not going to hurt you. It's only going to... Mr. Grimes, the Bible says sin keeps good things from you. God doesn't want that to be true. It's never going to hurt you. It's never too late to heed the word of God. The Bible says, be ye not hearers only, but be ye doers of the word.
Amen.
Consider these things. Obey God. Obey Him. Obey Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. God, I thank you for the doctrine. God, I thank you how it's helped my life. God, I've seen so many lives helped by it. God, I have my own brothers who lived in sin. God, and their lives were destroyed by these things. But God, I've seen them in a different light. God, and you've helped them. God, you've helped my friends. God, you've helped my coworkers. God, you've helped my bosses. God, you've helped these people. God, my family, this church family. God, and I thank you. But God, we ought to live as we ought to. How you tell us to. God, I ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray, amen.